anybody want to know what I would do if I didn't win? I guess we'll never know.
So keep your love, I don't get enough of it.
Jesus just rose again.
Listen to the kids.
Welcome to Watching the Throne.
Lyrical analysis of Kanye West, I guess.
You sound so unhappy about this. My name's Chris Lambert.
My name's Travis Bean, and well, I don't know. We're here to talk about the Joe Rogan interview, and it was a great interview. I'm excited to talk about it, but I mean, it just reminds me that Kanye didn't do an interview with us.
Ooh. That's
I need some answers. I don't know.
You know, maybe he's just not doing a lot of interviews these days after doing an interview with Nick Cannon and an interview with Joe Rogan, and now he's going to be on Jimmy Kimmel. Maybe it's just not like interview season for him.
You know, I understand, like, it takes a lot of time to do these interviews, but what, he did a 2-hour interview with Nick Cannon, a 3-hour interview with Joe Rogan. Just clip an hour out of both of those and give 2 hours to us. Like, it's not like he lost any time if he did that.
No, right? Why can't we just sit down and explain this to him?
I wish I could. And you know what? That's going to be part of our 48-hour interview with him. Well, the interview itself won't be 48 hours. We'll be together for 48 hours. We'll probably talk for like 6 to 7 hours, and we'll cut it down to like 2 or 3. And of course, we have final edit on all of that. Kanye can give his input if he wants, and we might consider it. But ultimately, you know, that 2-3-hour interview that's going to come out, that's what people will get excited about. Joe Rogan, like, yeah, okay, that's great. But us, like, come on.
It would be a groundbreaking moment for
us.
You know, just people with dreams.
Yeah,
you know?
Us. It would, us. More than anything, like, I don't know if it'd be good for, like, culture, but for us, like, it'd be great.
Would it be a new realm for all podcasts anywhere and everywhere?
You know, like all these shows now that are, there's a bunch of podcasts that are like basically fan podcasts for artists. And, you know, there's You Talking U2 to Me, and they talk to U2, and that show talks to R.E.M. And like all these shows are getting big bands and everything. Our podcast getting Kanye on the show, like that would be like, that's the height. Like nobody's bigger than Kanye. If we can pull that off, I mean, I don't know. I'm just saying, guys, help us out.
Well, so I actually, there's this guy, Mahat, I think his name is. It's like Mahat Savada. And he was posting on every Kanye tweet, like, Kanye, I painted this for you. Like, please let me give it to you. And he just did that for like all of 2018 and a majority of 2019. And then he actually got to go give his painting to Kanye.
That's amazing.
Like somebody got in touch with him, or like Kim got in touch with him because he was posting it on Kim's stuff too. And there's a photo of him, though his like face is like cropped out, he just, or like blocked out, which I was always like, why? Why hide yourself?
That's weird.
But he got to give the picture to Kanye, and then he started tweeting at Kanye again, and he had this like post like, if you believe in me and think that Kanye West should let me give him this picture, like retweet this. And Kanye eventually retweeted it just like 2 weeks ago. So I copy and pasted that and made some edits, and I keep posting it under Kanye tweets now. And people are liking it and retweeting it and being like, Kanye, like, please let them interview you. So people have our backs, but it reads, if you believe in me and think that Kanye West should let me interview him about his relationship with movies, please retweet this. This is all I want out of my career as a journalist, and I'm 100% going to work until it happens.
I really hope that, like, Kanye finding, I was like, yeah, I'll do it. But then when he finds out that I'm part of the deal, he's like, eh, you know what? Never mind.
Yeah, right? He's like, I have been baited and switched by Watching the Throne.
Oh, little beanie weenies coming? Like, nah.
I thought I was talking to Chris. It's Chris and Travis. Fuck Travis.
It's a package deal. I won't let it happen unless I'm there to fuck things up.
Yeah, right? Kanye shows up and he's just like, where's Chris? And you're like, there is no Chris.
I'm Chris.
Turns out it's been just you talking this whole time with two different voices.
Oh, wow. That'd be incredible. Should we talk about the Joe Rogan interview?
I guess so.
Okay.
I guess so. So we haven't gotten to, it's been over a week now, almost 2 weeks, right?
Wait, wasn't it last Friday?
Is that all the time that's passed?
I thought it was. I was hoping we didn't wait 2 weeks to talk about it.
Oh, God, it's only been a week.
It's been
1 week since you looked at me. Yeah, this interview, I didn't know what to, I mean, obviously none of us knew what to expect, but it seems like,
unless you can see the future, Rogan,
which one day, but Joe Rogan seemed to not even know what to expect. Like in the aftermath of the interview, he just had a thing come out today. He was talking to this guy, God Saad. And in the interview, Saad asked him, like, hey, is there anybody that you wish you could interview that you haven't gotten to interview? And Joe's like, no, there's really no one. He's like, I know you just got to talk to Kanye recently. And Joe goes on a little bit of a tangent talking about the interview. And he admits something that was kind of a rumor, that he had avoided doing the interview with Kanye because he wasn't sure it would be a good platform for Kanye, just because as Kanye's been criticized over the interview for the amount of tangents that he went on over the course of the interview and just his very labyrinthian, 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 labyrinth-like way of speaking. Joe wasn't sure that was going to work. And he had said as much in the early part of 2019, saying that like this podcast platform isn't really right for everybody. And it seems like maybe he was, we know now he was kind of hedging his bets, unsure if it would work or not. But maybe after seeing the Nick Cannon interview, he was just like, all right, Kanye can do a podcast interview. Yeah.
I feel like that's what happened. Have him on. Like he saw Kanye be like, being fairly even keeled in that interview and like having a good conversation, he was like, you know what, let's get down to business.
Yeah, and even like the Letterman interview probably helped as well. Like there have been some good ones in the aftermath of when he was supposed to talk to Joe Rogan that I think have probably gone a long ways to making this happen.
Maybe Joe Rogan also saw the presidential debates and was like, good God, can like somebody sensible talk about the presidency? Let's get him in here.
Yeah, and I think Kanye running for president was a big part about why Joe wanted to talk with Ye, because one of the big criticisms of Kanye's presidential run, of the many that have happened, is that he hasn't really expressed anything in the way of policy. Like on his website, on the Kanye 2020 Vision website, there's 10 policy points that he has. And I guess depending on your stance, you might think like, oh, this is good. Like he talks about what he wants to do with education. He talks about what he wants to do with like agriculture. But I think a lot of people want something more substantial. And really, of the questions that Joe got in over the course of 3 hours, it felt like a lot of them dealt with either policy or the presidential campaign, with only maybe like one or two being on anything else.
Yeah. I thought that was, I want to ask what you thought of Kanye's answer to those questions, because I did feel that way for a while, where like I love Kanye and like I would love to live in a world. Well, I'm mostly talking about how I felt before the interview right now. Like heading into the interview, I was like, I want to live in a world where I feel good voting for Kanye. He is somebody who is thinking about all of the issues facing his country. He has a plan for his policies. Like he has a team, like a team I can trust will know about these policies and inform him properly. Like, but you never, I guess I never really got that from him, mostly because like I guess he hasn't really been talking about it. It's not like he's going out and doing interviews and part of presidential debates like the two presidential candidates are, but at the same time it doesn't seem like he's actively doing that because he's consumed by so many things. So heading into it, like that is what I wanted. But I gotta say, like I was really impressed by his answers, and it kind of, my thought process about what I would want to hear from somebody when they're asked these kinds of policy questions, like I feel like it kind of transformed during the Joe Rogan interview, because I watched the presidential debates and I haven't watched, I mean, I remember watching the Clinton Trump ones, although I got to say back then, I don't even think I paid attention that much, because me, along with the rest of the world, thought there was no fucking way in the world Donald Trump would win. And I was like, well, I'm not going to watch him just be an idiot for an hour and a half. Like, but this time I watched it and I hadn't seen presidential debates for a while. And I forgot how much of like a sham they are. Like, they're kind of dumb, especially when you have someone like Trump who's just being an idiot and saying false things and just stringing together falsehoods and, you know, doing what he can to placate to his base. And then you have Joe Biden, who's a career politician, who says everything properly, says stuff that's clearly been written out for him. Not that I don't like trust either of them believe the things they're saying, but like the way they talk like politicians talk. And it's not very motivating to watch the two people that one of the two people that's going to lead your country speak to you like that. So that's what I really liked about Kanye, is that like, it kind of went beyond, I feel like I went beyond like, oh, I need to hear something that I agree with when he's asked these policy questions, where like that, I feel like that's never going to be the case. Like, you're not going to agree with every policy decision a president makes. But with Kanye, like, he's giving thoughtful answers. Like, he's thinking about every question and he's saying what I think is really key, is that, well, I don't know everything about this topic, but I'm going to like study my ass off on it when the time comes, and I'm going to have a team around me that gives me the right answers. And like, and I thought about it, I was like, that's probably like the best way to answer any policy question. Because yeah, you can like, any politician is going to throw talking points at you and say the things you know you want to hear it, but half the time we know presidents don't end up doing half the shit they say they're going to do. Kanye gets shit done. So when he says stuff like that, like, oh, I'll have a team around me and I'll make good decisions and I'll design a good system, like, well, I've seen Kanye do that his whole career. Like, these answers actually kind of make sense and seem way more logical than these presidential candidates who get in front of a million people and like just promise the fuck out of things that they probably won't get done. As we saw with Trump, he wasn't able to do a bunch of shit he said he would do. Mexico's not paying for the fucking wall. We all know that. Like, I don't know. There was just something really refreshing and promising about Kanye's answers to those questions.
Well, it's like you even go back to Obama, right? And all the things that Obama was talking about, yeah, and like the high hopes that a lot of people had, myself included, for his presidency. And you look at what was actually able to be accomplished, whether it's like through the reality he ended up facing, or like an opposing party that did everything that they could to drag their heels on any policy wins. It's just the reality of being president, especially in 21st century America, and how politically divided it is like hard to accomplish what you want to accomplish. Right. And exactly what you're saying, like, there was a tweet that Fantano had where somebody was talking about, I guess he just said like people defending Kanye. Okay, there was a tweet where Joe Rogan asked Kanye about his foreign policy, and Kanye pauses and did the same thing that he did in the Kimmel interview in 2018, where he kind of paused for 10 seconds thinking about his answer. And in the Kimmel interview, Kimmel like panicked and went to commercial and then just avoided the question completely when they came back. And I was in the audience, like I saw it happen. Yeah. There was no like cut. There was nothing like more. Everything that you saw on TV was exactly as it happened, which I saw people speculating that they like cut Kanye's answer or did the stuff. No, it was just he didn't like dead air and panicked and went to commercial. And Joe obviously didn't have that issue and just kind of waited and kind of gave his answer. But there was a clip on Twitter just going around of Kanye pausing. And it was getting really popular with all these people being like, he has no answers, this guy's an idiot, how could he call himself a genius, like a lot of criticism. And I and of course other people chimed in on it and had some posts that were like decently liked in response. And Fantano responded in general to the Kanye fan base defending Kanye, and the criticism being that Kanye did answer the question and answered it in a way that like Joe was happy with, that other people seemed to think was like reasonable response rather than a bad response. And Fantano was saying that no, no, no. Even if you hear the rest of the clip, it's still a bad answer. Like, people are giving Kanye too much credit. If he were to be in any foreign policy class, he would, like, fail with that answer. And I responded to him, and it's the same thing that I kind of feel like what you're getting at generally is politicians these days can say everything that they hope to do, want to do, but the reality is that they probably won't be able to do most of that. And once they get more information about what's going on, ramifications from this or that decision, and get into the actual politics of all of that policy, what they're going to do is probably much different from what they said that they're going to do. And the thing that I admired about Kanye's talking points and response is that he didn't sell us on a promise of what he could do or will do. He just said, this is my process and this is the approach that I'm going to have to it, which I think is kind of the more reasonable answer, in terms of, I'm just going to get experts and the best people and I'll design something, I'll figure it out when the situation arises. Like, Joe Rogan's asking him about, like, China invading Taiwan. Like, how can you possibly answer that without knowing the current state of affairs or what the state of affairs are at that time, not just in the United States, but with various allies, with other world powers? There's so much nuance to the question that just saying, like, I will examine everything and make a good decision, look at my history.
Yeah, that's the weird thing. God, yeah. I mean, I'm essentially saying here, I don't understand the world, but I don't. Like, that's the thing I don't understand about people's general relationship with politics is we all recognize that politics is bullshit. Like, it just is. Like, people get up, say the things that people want to hear, spout nonsense, make promises they can't keep, have these broad talking points about things, and run these ads. Like, they're just selling a perception of themselves. That's all they're ever selling, is like, this is what you can expect when I'm in office. When we all know, we've seen politics play out for decades now, hundreds of years. Like, we all know what's going to happen. Like, things get tied up. Like, you learn, like, the president knows things we would never understand about all of these issues. Like, it's such a complex process that all of that lead up, all of that selling of yourself and advertising, like, it's all bullshit. Like, of course it is. You kind of have to be that way if you want to sell it, or at least that's the way it's been painted. Like, this is the way you sell yourself if you want to win. And ultimately, you're just representing a party, right? You're representing, like, what your party represents, and you're looking to be the figurehead for that party. Like, you're the person that's going to carry out these, like, big, broad plans. But ultimately, gosh, like, we all know it's not going to happen. Like, we all know politics is bullshit. Yet, when Kanye does the exact opposite thing that all those politicians do, they scream that Kanye's not doing all the bullshit things politicians do. Like, it's so strange. Like, how would Kanye have an answer to specific foreign policy questions? Like, I don't want an off-the-cuff answer. Like, yes, maybe Kanye should spend more time, like, reading about this stuff and understanding that stuff, but he's also just, like, Kanye's just a civilian. He's not a politician. Like, he's not involved in all of these affairs. He's somebody who is, I think, properly selling himself as a designer, as a sort of engineer, as somebody who is able to empathize and look at situations with a level head and not, you know, do the Joe Biden thing where, like, you're going to be hard on Russia, where, like, Kanye would probably, like, try to, like, bridge a gap, you know, if these nations we've always had been at war with. Like, I just don't understand. Like, I don't understand the reaction to it. Like, people are essentially mad that Kanye is not doing all the political bullshit that we hate. It's, I guess, no big surprise there. You can't fucking please anybody.
Right. It's like they hate the game, but then they hate someone for not playing the game.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Wow. But yeah, so that was kind of, I get why people would be concerned in some ways in terms of, like, the thought process going on. And, like, not everybody understands metaphor and analogy, right? It's not how everybody processes the world. And you might think, because I'm somebody that uses a lot of metaphors and things. Like, if I'm ever in an argument with somebody, I almost always am like, oh, well, think about like this movie and mm-hmm. this, or think about it in this like sports scenario. If this was the situation, how would you respond? Or, like, what the fuck does that have to do with us arguing about like music or arguing about politics? Like, stop comparing. Like, did you just compare like this serious topic to like LeBron James's career? I'm like, yes, but it's like, doesn't it get at the core point? And some people will get that and some people won't. So I understand that with Kanye, to the degree that he is associative and metaphorical, why watching his interview with Joe Rogan and seeing him go from this thought to this thought to this thought to this thought can feel very chaotic to people, where maybe even unnerving, stressful, because it's almost like watching a movie that is more highbrow than what you want to watch at that time, mm-hmm. and kind of wears you down because you have to actively pay attention to get anything out of the movie. And I feel like that's Kanye's conversational style, or at least interview style at this point, was you have to pay so much attention to where he's going and how he got from this thing to this thing that you can get exhausted. And then you think, oh, well, I don't want a leader that's going to do that. So that just shuts down any consideration, whether or not there's merits or not.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's almost like people don't want like a regular dude in the White House, like somebody who has a thoughtful response to a question and thinks about it and like has a conversation. Although I guess you could argue Kanye's not really having a conversation and just running through talking points, but still, like, I don't know, like, he's elaborating on things and like tweaking the way he thinks about things like in the moment. I guess I find something really refreshing about that. I don't know if that means like Kanye gets my vote in the future. It's something I still have to think about and grapple with. But I gotta say, like, this interview probably inched me closer to that reality. Something I thought probably would never happen because of, there's still several things about Kanye's presidential run that, I don't know, there are some things I can't quite get over. But like, the more I consider it, like, I guess the religious stuff is the main thing I'm grappling with now. But like, as my thoughts on religion evolve and as I think about the way Kanye approaches religion and like if any actual policies would come out of that, like, I don't know, just the more I hear him talk, and I hope he keeps talking to people and keeps expanding on his thoughts for President Trump, but the more I hear him talk, like, the safer I feel with him, like, the more confident I feel in him as a leader, because I don't look at him as a politician. I would think of him as a leader, and when I think of him that way, I'm starting to see like the pieces come together and thinking like, well, like, maybe there is a future where like this could happen.
I get very torn because I understand like where you're coming from, and I felt emotions like that, but I still get worried about the separation of church and state thing to a large degree. And I think I would have to see mm-hmm. him actually run a campaign that is coordinated, which I get in 2020, there's a little bit of a, well, let's just see what the process is like. We're not going to put in a lot of time and effort into this election because we know that this election is kind of a wash. Whether or not he admits that, right? Like, I don't think Kanye would admit that or could admit that, but I think he and everyone else kind of knows, which is why he said, like, he's walking mm-hmm. In this election rather than, like, running for president. He's walking for president. If the 2024 election was coming out and you were seeing like organization, coordination, and then staying with it, I think is kind of a big thing too. Like that dedication, like this is what he's putting his time and effort towards. Like he's not really worried about the gap right now because it's the country. He's not worried mm-hmm. about music because he's the country. I would want to see those things, but like to get my vote, it would have to be like those two things addressed, actual seriousness for it. Because I think Kanye's serious, but I don't think he dedicated himself to it. And I would need that. But it does make me want somebody that's as empathetic as Kanye and somebody that is as broadly thinking as Kanye. Like, I want somebody in the mold of what Kanye's bringing to the table. There's just specific things about his run that have been deal breakers for me.
I want to get back to that, but do you see a future where Kanye is able to just be president? I don't know if Kanye's capable of doing just one thing.
Yeah, I would imagine that there's so much that goes into what you have to deal with like domestic and foreign policy and just like working on education, working on healthcare, working on like this bill, that bill, that he would, even though it's one thing, it's like one thing that's so multifaceted that I think his time and attention would be taken up. But it seems like at least in 2020, he wasn't ready to let go of any of the other things he's working on.
Yeah, I feel like I could vision Kanye folding a lot of what he does into his presidency. I mean, obviously, he couldn't be like working for the Gap and, you know, making Yeezy designs while he's president. But just his whole thought process of like the Terrell domes and like building communities and growing your own food, like I could see all that stuff folding into his presidency stuff.
Oh yeah, absolutely. It just didn't this time around, right? Like maybe a little bit of like dovetailing, it just ideas like Kanye is concerned with building shelters for the homeless and affordable housing and redesigning communities and things like that. So you could argue some of those projects are in that vein. But I feel like he would have to like actively set aside working on those things and doing those things and like dedicate the majority of time to the presidential campaign.
Yeah, you would hope so. But yeah, on the separation of church and state stuff, like I'm totally there with you. And I know you and I both agreed like that's kind of the deal breaker with Kanye for us earlier this year, like this summer when, you know, the South Carolina shit show happened. But I keep thinking about it, and I'm like, has Kanye ever come out and said, like, are there any policies he's pushing that would threaten separation of church and state? Like, I'm trying to, did he say anything in the Joe Rogan interview that indicated that?
The thing that he talked about wanting prayer back in schools,
yeah,
and like the necessity of prayer in schools, which I feel like is kind of a stepping stone to that.
Yeah.
Like, well, let's implement prayer here. Like, what else can we implement? But then he also has talked about that, and maybe this is like too early on and maybe his thoughts have changed, but he was talking about how he would meet with like the top thinkers who are Christian.
Right.
To get input on like how to go about taxes. And it just seems like if you're only meeting with experts who are also Christian, because that's the only, like, you value that belief system above all others, that's also a deal breaker for
me. Yeah, I hear that and don't disagree with it. But I got to say, like, the more I've been, I guess Kanye has channeled this in me, but, like, I've been reading more about religion and, like, what religion represents to people just psychologically, what it does for their psyche, how they are in the world, you know, and I slowly realize that, like, I mean, I am myself an atheist, I guess, if I have to pin any sort of label on myself, but it's not that I don't agree with all the things that, say, Christianity pushes, like what God represents. He's like, if you're a Christian, you believe God exists, like God is a thing, like somebody you'll meet, like there is a heaven, like there is an afterlife, Jesus, you know, was here and did all the shit he did. Like, you believe in all that stuff, but ultimately what you believe in is like the power of God, and what God ultimately represents in my head anyway is just like this belief in yourself, like the supernatural belief in yourself to carry the word of God, to do something good, to go out and spread goodness. Like, all of that is there in Christianity, and ultimately I think that's what Kanye pushes, and I think that's, and especially what we saw in Jesus is King, like that's really what he's been searching for so long, is to channel this part of himself and finally fix himself through God. And when I think of that, when I think of Kanye's belief in God and what it really represents, and I look past, you know, the separation of church and state stuff and hope that there actually isn't any real policy changes as far as like religion goes. But if that's really what he's pushing and that's what he's trying to inspire in people, like, I'm okay with that. And if that means, and I'm with you on the if his team is filled of Christians, like, and that's the only way he's going to like make any decisions, like, I'm kind of troubled by that. But again, at the same time, I think it also means like he's putting good people in his camp who believe, you know, in the power of God, who believe in that goodness, who don't just think like, oh, if you're not Christian, like, you're this, like, you're an other. Like, I don't think Kanye thinks that way. Again, like, maybe I need to hear him speak more on this stuff, and who knows, maybe we can fucking ask him about it. But I'm starting to feel a little better about that stuff when I just open up my mind a little bit about religion and what it represents to Kanye.
I appreciate the faith in that, and I do think that there are like broadly that's the concept, but I just see like such a slippery slope from that position to where, like, yeah, even if it starts off with like, well, you know, I love everyone, but I want to like work with like Christians and listen to the Christians, and I think you start to have kind of a, you can start to make decisions for groups of people that you think make sense within your realm of knowledge and expertise. And even if you think you mean well and that you're being compassionate and empathetic, are you really being empathetic if you're not even like bringing in experts from that realm? And who knows if he would actually do that, right? It was one quote from one interview where he said that, and maybe he doesn't feel that way at all. But I would at least need to hear that or see it in action.
They ask me, I tell them. Raise your glasses to the sky. This is the last call for alcohol.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers. The trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.